This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. This is Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Innovative thoughts from baseball's best coaching minds from around the world. Brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, former USA Baseball National Team Coach, Peter Caliendo.
Welcome all our listeners in the U.S. and around the world. You're listening to Baseball Outside the Box. I'm your host, Pete Caliendo. Hope you're all doing well. This is the show that interviews baseball's best coaching minds who love to challenge the status quo. Don't forget, we're getting some great reviews on our show. So do us a favor, if you're a current listener, please forward all our social media information, you know, at Baseball Out. We're on Twitter, Facebook, all the social media platforms. Forward that to everybody you know, and that gets the show going. Also educates more people, so that really helps out the development of the sport in the U.S. and around the world. We're excited about today's show. Don't forget, email me at petercaliendo@att.net. If you have any questions about anything, always respond to all our emails, and we love getting them. Currently, we are in B.C., with B.C. Baseball in Vancouver, Canada, on the eighth year of our coaches player and parent caravan. We travel over 25 cities in 3 weeks. An incredible, I got to tell you, program which educates coaches, players, and parents all at one time, because we believe it's the three-pronged process helps develop the game at the grassroots level. BC Baseball and Baseball Canada do an outstanding job with this, and BC Baseball especially. They've been developing kids for a long time at the grassroots level. They're seeing an increase in participation. It's exciting. We get 400-500 people every city we go to. And the parents love it because they get to see some fun drills that they can, you know, play catch with their kids, hit wiffle balls at home with their kids, roll them ground balls, all kinds of different drills. It's a lot of fun. And also the coaches get educated. At the same time, the players are learning that they can work on their own. So great program. BC Baseball, love it. We're still going. So we're actually in every city. We're in a different hotel. Meeting with the parents, and everything's going fantastic. So we are going to get the show rolling. We got a great show for you. If you followed me on social media, I have been asking a lot of questions on the visual aspect of the game because of the fact that, especially hitting, I see a lot of experts and, you know, put in a lot of great stuff on hitting, you know, but I don't see a lot about the visual aspect. And the biggest question I have and always had, you know, and maybe we're just not as informed and sometimes a little scared as coaches, but I've always asked the question, you know, why aren't we working on the visual aspect in every practice, every game, every time we're out there? Number one should be a visual training program for the players, you know, and then get into all the other aspects of the of hitting and fielding and throwing and all that, and even pitching. So we're going to talk to a good friend. This is a great show. Connor Powers is going to be on the show. He is an expert with Visual Edge. They are at visualedge.com. That's V-I-Z-U-A-L, edge.com. They're also on Twitter. Check them out. A lot of great tips on Twitter, Visual Edge. Connor played at Mississippi State. As you know, a great baseball program. Was drafted by the Dodgers in 2009 and also by the Padres in 2010. He hit 30 in the first year in his professional year. I'm going to ask him, maybe he had great vision also right away. And I'm going to ask him, does vision only, can that just help you? Do you really have to do the training? Which I know, I have a pretty good idea. The answer is going to be no. Training is extremely important. But also he started deadredhitting.com. So what I like about this is not only a visual expert, but also understands the aspects of hitting and development, ground force, and a lot of different other things. And the company's called Visual Edge Vision Training. Check them out. And I want to welcome Connor to the show. Connor, welcome to Baseball Outside the Box.
Yes, thank you very much for having me. Super excited to share what we do at Visual Edge and, you know, share a lot of things that I've, you know, learned about vision and really how it correlates to hitting and to help players, you know, just understand and be more informed about, you know, how it really works as far as how your eyes work, picking the ball up, tracking it, and all those good things.
Well, this is going to be an interesting conversation. I think we need more of this. I've had a couple other experts on the show, you know, on visual training, and I just want to delve into it because I think, to me, you know, again, it's not my expertise, but boy, being in the game 37 years, I've always wondered, as you heard in the intro, you know, vision should be at the top of the list, should be practiced every day. And I'm going to ask you about that. But before I do, I want you to tell our audience about your company and about the product that you have. And it's not, you know, as you and I talked, you know, we don't promote products, but, you know, when you've got a good product that's going to help individuals, you know, get better and coaches get better, well, you got to tell them about the product. And, you know, so I want them to know a little bit about the product and also, you know, the history behind it, because it took a lot of years to come up with this product, you and a couple other guys in your company.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So from the beginning, Dr. Seiler, he invented it. He's an ophthalmologist. He's an MD. He's also got his MBA from Harvard. So extremely intelligent man. And, you know, he's been, you know, he's around 80. So he's been doing this for quite some time. And, you know, over the last about 20 years or so, he's been really developing it. And over the last decade, they've been working with major league teams to help teams evaluate their players, their draft prospects that they're really looking at. And now, basically what's going on is we're trying to get into, you know, basically the lower levels to college. You know, I've been testing D1 colleges. I've been working with youth organizations, been working with high schools, and really just get this in front of people and really help the players really get the big benefit. And that's, you know, one of the things that jumped out at me and what, you know, brought me on board with the product, because I took the test, which I'll talk about in a second. But I just said, after I got done, I said, oh my God, why, like, where was this and why didn't I know about it? And this really could have made a big difference for me as a player. So, you know, I think just that's really my mission as I get into this, is to get this in the hands of every player across the country so that they can be the best prepared when they step in the batter's box. So the way that the product works is you start off with a test. So it's an evaluation. And what we do is, you know, you'll get glasses, special glasses, and the evaluation is going to test your 6 most important visual skills, which are going to be your eye alignment, your depth perception, which mine was not good, which we'll talk about that in a second. your convergence, as the ball track, how you track the ball really as it approaches the plate or as it comes at you. Your divergence, which is going to be more of how you actually pick the ball up out of the hand. Can you see the spin? Can you see the trajectory? Okay. And then the next one's going to be recognition, which, you know, the way it makes the most sense to me is I'm sitting on fastball timing, and then all of a sudden he throws a slider. How quickly can I recognize that? So that's pretty closely tied to divergence, but how quickly can I recognize that and make that adjustment? And then the last one is going to be tracking. So tracking is basically how quickly are your eyes going to respond to that target. So it's a software that you can get access to on a computer. So basically you would have, or even an iPad really, and you would have a username and a login. You log in, you have the glasses, and then you take the test. So it's web-based. It's really, really easy to use. Pretty much anywhere from all over the planet can use it. But basically you log in, and then it explains to you how to take the whole test, and then you go through the test. And then after you take the test, you get a composite score, which is called your edge score. So when I took mine, just as reference, mine was, I want to say the first time I did it was like 77, if you will. And when you compare that to the guys that we have in our database who are MLB All-Stars, you know, we've got those guys that are like in the low 90s. So those are like 92s, 93s. So you can just see how big of a discrepancy there was between the way that I actually saw the ball and how those guys every midsummer in July and how they see the ball. So it's a big, big difference that we're able to see, especially up with all the information that we capture through the draft process. So you know, it's pretty cool information just to see, but then also depending on how you test. So for me, my depth was really bad, which I couldn't catch pop-ups. I always had to tell my middle infielder that he'd better catch a pop-up or else we weren't getting an out, because I played on the corners of the infield. So my training program, for example, really is going to work on depth. And then, you know, also convergence, how I track the ball as it went to the plate. So mine was actually low there. And what I found was as a hitter, I picked the ball up out of the hand, which my divergence was excellent on the test, but I did not see the ball as it got to the plate, and my depth was not great. So you want to talk about being a 3-hole hitter as you move up the ladder, or 4-hole, or even 5-hole, or just a bigger guy just in general, a power guy. I mean, they're going to go hard and soft away. And, you know, when I started to see a lot of really good off-speed pitches when I got into high A, or better fastball command, that was where I really struggled. So just the nature of this product and what it does and the program and how it works, I think it just spoke volumes to me, because, you know, I look back at my career, you know, there were other things, but I mean, just the way that I actually saw the ball and my plate discipline. And I think that was really one of the things that was really held me back for being the best player that I could be.
Mm-hmm. Connor, these, you mentioned the major league players, and it doesn't have to be the major league, but your top players in the program after they tested, were there some correlations on, you know, that guys were extremely good at something, all of them across the board, or does it vary according to players?
Yeah, you know, I mean, sometimes it varies according to players, but typically what we're going to see with the best players is that they're going to be pretty good all the way across the board. They may have one or two things where, you know, for example, their tracking may be so great that it makes up for deficiency elsewhere. But we've had third-party research done that points to players with the higher edge scores consistently across the board have higher batting average, higher OPS, higher on-base percentage, and lower strikeouts. So, you know, just from a coaching standpoint, you want to talk about how do you help somebody have more quality at bats. And that's really one of the things that I, you know, that jumps out to me when I look at it and go, all right, you know, that's great. I want all my guys, I want every player that I work with to have great stat lines. But, you know, as a team, I want to have quality at bats. And, you know, that's the thing that really jumps out at me as far as what this allows you to do.
Sure. And, you know, what my mention in my intro also, you know, I've been on social media a lot and you see a lot of things. You know, everybody wants to be a hitting expert, including myself. You know, I think I know a little bit about a hitting, but not enough. You know, and you hear a lot about certain things that, you know, some really good stuff out there on social media. And I get, you know, like the ground force and we talk about the balance. You know, I would assume balance is extremely important. Now, I want to ask you, you know, if we talk about balance, and vision, do they work hand in hand or does one help the other a lot more? So you should focus on that area. So does vision help? If you're focused on vision a lot, will that create good balance or do you need to work both together?
Yeah, you know, that's a really interesting topic you bring up there. You know, I think the better that you're going to see the ball, I think the better quality of swings that you're going to take. So for example, you know, when I found myself to be, you know, off balance as a hitter, it would be really what's called visual flexibility. So it's the ability to basically go from being able to see the ball. And then as it gets, you know, halfway to the plate, just call it, it then goes into convergence. So how well do your eyes quickly go from one to the other? And mine don't move correctly. So basically what that means is that I've missed the ball for a second. And that's when I'm going to be chasing pitches. That's when I'm going to be starting to swing at things that are going to throw me off balance versus, you know, if I'm really seeing the ball well, let's just say it's a fastball down the middle, it's pretty easy to stay on balance at that point. So, you know, I think when you have a better visual system and you start swinging at better pitches, it's going to allow you to stay more on balance, I guess I could say.
Sure. And the other thing is, you know, we talk about, you know, the visual aspect. I've always believed, you know, I mean, it's just common sense. If you can't see it, how are you going to hit it? How are you going to time it? How, you know, you can't recognize, you can't follow it all the way. Now the training aspect of your program, you know, they can do every week all year round, you know, it's something that they need to do all the time because you can just keep getting better and better and better.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, the comparison that I use is like weightlifting. So, you know, you always want to have your eyes being the most tip top, you know, condition that you can. So that's basically, you know, you do it 2 to 3 times a week and you do it all year round. So that's one of the nice things about this is you can continually improve with our training. So about every 6 weeks you retest and then you get a new training program, just depending on what you've improved, maybe what, you know, continues to need work, continues to challenge. And we're working on some new things to try to gamify it as much as possible, especially for the younger guys, you know, where you can have individual players compete against each other and just really, really make it a fun experience, to, you know, to do. And then there's also, you know, you got a lot of kids playing different sports. There's a lot of correlations into other sports. You know, if you're playing quarterback, if you're playing receiver, gosh, I mean, if you're playing hockey or whatever, I mean, even if you're golfing, you know, putting. So, you know, really across the board, just in general, it's a great tool to have as an athlete.
So, Connor, if you're a baseball guy and, you know, let's say you're a baseball coach and you're running a practice, it could be at any level. You know, at the higher levels, obviously, they can use the technology. They've got more time and so forth. One, this needs to be priority number one within a practice plan, in my opinion. Two, you know, if you're younger players, you can actually just use one, let's say, iPad and have that as a station. Because I believe it's good to take a break, you know, within our practices and always be, you know, constantly moving the whole 2 hours where you now take a break and go through the program at a particular station with the iPad?
Yes, absolutely. So that's how a lot of the programs and different individual teams have started to use the training. So especially for the tracking and recognition, They will basically use that even going up to the plate just to basically get their eyes firing and their brain working properly. And they'll use it as a hitting station at practice. So it's pretty cool to see the ways that it's integrated. And the first four tests, which is going to be your alignment, your depth, convergence, and divergence, those are going to be more like a weightlifting, which you would probably do after practice. But during practice, you can really work on the recognition and the tracking. So, for example, the recognition is more, you know, it's like a pattern recognition. The way the test works is there's three arrows that flash in the middle of the screen in different directions. So it may be, you know, up, down, right. And then you've got to hit the corresponding arrows. So on an iPad, there's a little directional pad that pops up, or on a computer, you just use the arrows. So, you know, and then as time goes on, you can make that even more complicated. You can have four arrows, you can have five arrows, you can have six arrows. Okay. And so especially even talking about like sign recognition, really making sure that, you know, your players understand how to recognize and remember signs. So there's so many different correlations as to building this into a practice plan and how it can help your team and how it can give them an advantage.
And they could use this in game time when it comes to, you can be on the bench, you could be, you know, prior to the on deck hitter, you could be using that.
Yes, correct. Yeah. So it would be the recognition, the tracking would be the ones that you would use, you know, on a game day or during a game day. And yeah, you can, you know, you got an iPad, you can just leave it right there. And, you know, whether you're three guys away or four guys away, you can just hit, you know, work on it real quick just to make sure your eyes are working the right way and everything's working well.
Awesome. That sounds fantastic. I really like that. And, you know, the $1 million question is going to be, you know, something that, because I, you know, I'm trying to think of our listeners out there, you know, as a coach, as a player, as a parent, some of the questions they might have when it comes to, you know, pitch recognition. You know, the $1 million question is always, okay, you know, and I ask this to players. Matter of fact, we're in Vancouver now. We had some hitters, some high-end hitters working in, you know, trying out. And afterwards, I asked them, I said, each player, I asked them, okay, I'd like to know what you're looking at when you're hitting. I don't want you to tell me what your coach told you to look at, but what are you actually looking at? And my question to you, Connor, is what should they be looking at to make them a better hitter, to be able to identify the pitch, where to recognize it, you know, what location, what is there a process they can be training in practice and then that transfers into a game?
Yeah, sure. No, that's a really good question. You know, one of the things that I always found, you know, to be helpful is just as far as just trying to find that window of that release point of the pitcher. So, I mean, I found that to be pretty helpful where I would just kind of look generally, you know, at a kind of a spot on the pitcher's body. One of the most recent things that I've read, you know, in the last couple of days is just talking about actually trying to pick the ball up more out of kind of around the elbow or the pivot point, just because your eyes will respond a little bit more quickly to that ball. And then the thing that's great too is if your eyes are functioning properly, they will respond to that moving target pretty quickly, pretty easily, much better than before. Because, you know, you're right. It all comes down to, you know, how are you going to be able to see that out of the hand? And, you know, one of the big things too that I've experienced and I've seen players is that, you know, after they do the training or after they take the test, their focus is just, it's a lot higher. So, you know, I feel like it just from the visual confidence standpoint, and it just gives them an awareness of what they're doing. So I feel like, you know, even if, you know, for example, if you're going over the soft focus versus a hard focus and trying to talk about staring at the pitcher's hat, picking up the logo, or even the pivot point, like I talked about, as far as the elbow, I think it gives them the ability to have a better understanding of what their eyes are actually doing. And it also allows them to focus better.
You know, and what I like about you said the word focus a couple times. And what I like about it is that, you know, as coaches, even myself, a lot of times, you know, you'll tell players, well, focus. Well, you know, a lot of times we don't, what does that really mean? And this product, it sounds like it's actually helping you understand how you focus, because now all of a sudden you go up there after using the product and your eyes or your mind begin to understand how to focus.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, and that, you know, from a personal user end experience, that's, you know, I really feel a difference just from using it. You know, I've been doing the training and everything like that, but, you know, I just do notice a difference as far as how quickly my eyes will be responding to different things or my ability to key in on something and focus. You know, I don't play anymore. So I will go golf, you know, and even just trying to read the line and stare at the ball and all those different things, I think it just makes it a lot easier to really be kind of keyed in on something, you know, especially, you know, from a visual standpoint, if your eyes, you know, are more still and able to focus, I feel like that really just kind of calms you down in general. So, you know, like a lot of times people will be doing, all right, you know, I see Mitch Moreland, my old college buddy, he still does the focus point when he stares at his bat beforehand. So, you know, I think just kind of having understanding how to focus your eyes, I think makes a big difference just across the board.
Hey, let's talk to our players real quick here, Connor. Let's talk to them a little bit about how important, you know, when the pitcher's warming up, whether you're in the dugout, you know, and I know a lot of Japanese hitters that do a lot of training in Japan, mentioned it many times, a lot of Japanese hitters in games, they'll actually stand in front of the dugout and, you know, time the pitcher, trying to look at the release point. And then also on deck, you know, sometimes players, especially younger players, you know, they may not take it as serious because they really don't understand, you know, the importance of it. So can you address that?
Yeah, I mean, it's such an advantage to observe and pay attention, you know, especially when that pitcher is warming up, because every time you throw the ball, you're putting, you know, something in your memory bank that you can recall when you're up at the plate. You know, fastball is, you know, how is he hitting his spot, right? You know, just simple things. Is the catcher having to jump all over the place? Is his glove moving a lot? You know, what is the depth on his breaking ball? Does he have more than one pitch? Has he thrown any of them for strikes? And, you know, obviously it's only 7 or 8 pitches, but especially as you get into the inning, it's so important to pay attention to what that pitcher is doing. You know, and I think a lot of times it's easier to focus internally when you're on deck or in the hole and just saying, hey, all right, you know, what do I need to do with my swing mechanics, or what do I need to do with this, or, you know, and all that. That's great, but I think it's so much more important to try to observe and see what the pitcher is doing and just gain information that way. You know, that's why you work and practice so hard, is to make sure that when you get in the game, all your mechanics and, you know, those internal things that it's easier to focus on are in a good place. So that way, when you do get in the game, you know, you really pay attention to that pitcher and just see, you know, what's he doing, you know, where, how, you know. And one of the things that I used to look at was his apex on his breaking ball. And what I hoped was that he threw two of them, and I hoped that he threw one for a strike, and then I hoped that he buried one, which typically you'll see pitchers do that a lot, because those are really going to be the two that they throw. And that way, you know, as far as the apex, just the high point on his breaking ball, that way when I stood in the box, I had a much better idea of, you know, how his breaking ball was going to break, and at what point, you know, what height did it need to be at for me to swing, for me to believe that it was going to be a strike.
Connor, I got to believe that the head controls a lot, because, you know, the eyes are inside the head, obviously, and as the head moves, the eyes move. So let's discuss a little bit about, because I want our players and coaches also understand this part, you know, within the stance, the head position, within the stride when the front foot goes down, you know, and you've got both feet on the ground, the head position, and also within the swing, because if the head changes in any of those, it could affect the visual aspect, and I'd like for you to, you know, kind of comment on that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, if you're, you know, if your head's moving around, especially, you know, post heel drop, front heel drop into the ground, it's not good. Things are not going to be happening for you consistently. You just will not see the ball. You just won't see it. I mean, your head's going to be moving around, and you won't track the ball, and you're just not going to have the same awareness of where you need to basically deliver your barrel to strike that ball dead square in the middle.
Now, you guys test, obviously, first their vision, then you do the six tests that you talked about, the most important skill part. And is there a dominant eye effect there? Do they have to understand that? Does that make sense? Is that part of the understanding of the you know, program?
Sure. You know, that's a good question. So a lot of times players, you know, they'll have their visual acuity already tested. So that's not something we dive too much into, but, you know, we always recommend go to the eye doctor and just make sure that you have your visual acuity, your 20/20 tested. And as far as the, you know, dominant or non-dominant eye, you know, there's some easy things that you can do to try to figure that out. And, you know, just a quick Google search, just figure out dominant or non-dominant eye. But that, those aren't really too many things that we dive into. We really just try to focus on those six things that we have built into our software.
Right. Now, when a hitter's in his stance, I guess what I was trying to get to, when a hitter's in their stance, does it make a difference? You know, if he's right eye dominant and his head's not fully turned, because you hear coaches talk about make sure your head's turned so both eyes are looking straight, especially if you're right eye dominant and you're right-handed hitter. Does that make sense, or are we just going a little too far?
No, I mean, I'm fully on board with that. You know, I think it's kind of funny too, is, you know, I get more into this, I, you know, just working with players or seeing new players, they just won't have their head all the way turned. And it's like, wait, what? I get both of your eyes on the ball. And it's just something super simple, but, you know, I think a lot of it comes down to detail, especially, you know, you work with younger players and they just won't, they just sometimes don't pay attention to all the details or the small details or the details they think are small that are actually very, very big, that being one of them. So, yeah, I mean, you know, I always recommend you're just kind of aware of, you know, which eye is dominant. And, you know, either way, honestly, just make sure that your head is fully turned. There's never a reason not to have that head completely fully turned to be able to let your eyes do the best work that they possibly can.
Okay, and I'd like to go through your six-step process one at a time. So start with the first one and kind of explain it, you know, why it's important, and then we'll see if we got some questions on that. And then we'll go on to the next one, because I want them to really understand what happens from the time they get in the batter's box, you know, to identifying the pitch all the way to tracking it at contact point, what actually happens there.
Sure. Yeah, no, absolutely. So the first one is that we test is visual alignment. And what we found is that your alignment actually affects where you perceive the ball is in space. So, for example, if your eyes are misaligned, you may see the ball closer to you than it really is, or you may see the ball a little bit further away. So this can really affect your precision with your barrel, and then also just affect your timing as well. So that's really the first thing that we test is going to be the visual alignment.
Wow. Now, we're talking about visual alignment. So that means, I mean, because you use a key word there, timing, because timing is so important. I mean, without that, if you're not able to time the pitch, you're pretty much done. That's why you're talking about you got to have all six of these.
Yes. Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, what's the quote? Hitting is timing, pitching is upsetting timing. So,
yeah
I mean, and that's, you know, that's the first one we test. It's so important to get your, you know, eyes to be aligned, or, you know, it's really important for our training program or software just to know where you are on that, so that if you are misaligned, that we can train you to help improve that.
Great. Awesome. Let's go on to the next one.
Okay. So the next one's going to be depth perception. Depth perception, you know, can you see can you catch a pop-up? That's really what always jumps out to me is, you know, can you catch the ball with something that doesn't have a lot of contrast? Can you see the ball and have, you know, just a better understanding of the depth? And I guess for me, I just get distracted about the depth because, you know, I couldn't catch the ball, and that's my biggest issue. But it's really, you know, going to be mostly, you know, can you focus on a ball despite complex surroundings? Okay, so that's super, obviously extremely critical for hitting, and then extremely critical for playing in the field. Whether you're playing the outfield or you're in the infield, depth perception in baseball is really, really, really important. It's funny, I was watching Sunday Night Baseball, I guess this past week, and A-Rod was talking about the same thing, how he couldn't, he always made Jeter catch all the fly balls. So it was just kind of funny to be doing this and then hear him say that. So that was pretty funny.
Well, that's a smart guy. You know, if he's not seeing it well, you take it. It'll be a lot more better. That's good. I love
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no, exactly.
You know, this is a key issue right here because, you know, we're working with young kids right now. We've got, like, you know, even we start off here in Vancouver, you know, with 5-6-year-olds and just doing some fun drills and some agility stuff and some hand-eye coordination with, you know, with baseballs, kind of tossing them up in the air, tossing them to each other. We use bean bags because they're easier to catch with. But, you know, we let the kids do this, and they have a lot of fun because they're always moving and everything. But one question I have, I noticed, and maybe it addresses this issue. You know, it seems like every time we get real close, like say we're facing each other and I get real close with a 5-year-old and I toss them a beanbag, they have a better idea and they can catch it. And then I step back and then I throw it again and they catch it. And then if I go too far, they start having trouble catching it. You know, so I've always thought, and I may, you know, again, may be wrong, but it's been working. And I've always told the parents, you know, when they struggle, get a little closer, so that way they can get the technique down a little bit and they feel better and they start to catch it. And then as they start to catch it, move back. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I like that drill. That makes a lot of sense. You know, and I think because the thing is, too, also with all six of these, it's really your visual system. So it's how do all these things kind of work together. So That does make a lot of sense, though. I mean, I definitely would do the same thing. And, you know, especially from a skill development standpoint, that does make a lot of sense.
And, folks, we're talking visual, you know, whatever you want to call it, visual training, whatever words you want to use, great. But the important thing is that you notice, you know, Connor's been talking about not just hitting, we're talking about fielding, pitching, you know, catching, all the skills have to have top visual aspects. If you don't have those, you know, you're just going to struggle more. So, you know, I just want to emphasize to everybody out there, you've got to start working a lot on this in practice, you know, indoors, outdoors. Have it as part of your regimen, because this is going to help your kids a lot more. All right, Connor, let's jump. What's the next one?
Okay, awesome. So divergence, which that's going to really be essentially how you're seeing the ball out of the hand, or if you're in the outfielder, you know, how do you pick the ball up at a distance? How do you see the spin trajectory more at a distance? So obviously really, really important in hitting as far as just being able to see the spin on the pitch. And as the players get older, you know, it really is important to be able to do that with pitch recognition, or, you know, if you're an outfielder, or maybe let's say you're a guy that's more of like a utility guy, just the ability to make sure that your eyes can, you know, have good divergence so you can really go all over the field. I've seen it where players will be really good at a position, you know, maybe in the infield, and you throw them in the outfield and they don't do as well. That can be one of the reasons. Obviously, there's other factors at play, experience. What are they doing in practice? Are they working on the fundamentals of all the positions? But, you know, basically just want to make sure that they're prepared to pretty much go anywhere on the diamond. So that's really where your divergence is really important in the box, and then just to give you more versatility as a fielder.
Okay, now when it comes to that, with the first three that we talked about, it'd be interesting, you know, and I obviously the program is very good. It's been a lot of history behind it. Are there some, you know, for coaches out there that are working with in practices, are there some drills that they can do to complement the program also, you know, in other stations where they use visual drills with baseballs or something else that they're doing?
Yeah, you know what? That's a good question. You know, as I've gotten into this, just trying to really think about, all right, so, you know, what are the other things that they can really do to tap into these things? And, you know, from an actual visual training standpoint, you know, we really keep it with the things that we do in our software. But even just from a coaching standpoint, you know, even if it's just something, you know, as simple as, you know, as far as trying to pick the pitch up out of the hand, having the player, you know, stare at the L screen so that their eyes will then shift quickly to, you know, moving ball, whether they're throwing batting practice. But just, I would say more of the mechanics of what will allow their eyes to work the best as possible. You know, that would be something that's simple to get them to focus on something, just like they're trying to focus on a specific part of the pitcher during the game. For example. So, you know, I think just little things like that can make a big difference. Or, you know, even if it's a colored ball, where using the colored ball may not necessarily improve, your scores in the same fashion, but I think it also does allow them to start learning the importance of, hey, let's focus on trying to see the ball better. So, you know, I think all those things are really, really good. And anything that you can do to bring attention to it, I think will make a difference to the player.
Yeah, and I want the coaches to understand, you know, even myself, sometimes we tend to do drills just to do them and not really understand, you know, it looks good, but we really don't know if it's doing anything, you know, is it working? So when you talk about color balls, you know, maybe that could be a station, you know, prior to you go up, you know, for batting practice, or it could be a station where you rotate and you're calling the color balls, you know, which gives just, you know, another station for them to do. So that way they can also, you know, within a practice, spread more kids out and do more things. The other one is how about high speed, anything high speed, slow speed, you know, visual aspect. Does that make any sense, you know, where they're seeing something at a higher speed, maybe not necessarily hitting it, or something at a slower speed, or a mixture of them?
Yeah, no, you know, I think that's also another really good just thing in general. You know, the biggest thing I notice as coaching doing for that is it gets the kids to be comfortable with it. You know, I think if they're going to be facing higher velocity pitching, you know, it's definitely good to move the L screen up and make sure the L screen's padded, of course, as well. But, you know, just getting them to track something that's moving faster and, you know, slower, just to get them to understand how to go, you know, from a timing standpoint, really from one to the other. You know, the interesting thing about the tracking test that we have is we test it in, you know, just terms of seconds. And basically what happens is there's an individual arrow that flashes all over the screen one at a time. And the crazy thing is like the top. So I did this, you know, however long ago, and you know, mine was a point, I think 9 response time on average. And again, you look at the guys that are like the highest level of the major leagues, and you know, the all-star guys are going to be like 0.45. So it's about half of that. So, you know, I think mine is a little bit slower just because I don't play anymore, right? So my eyes aren't as conditioned as they were, but it's just crazy to see how that connection of their brain and tracking the ball goes. So, you know, even if you're just doing something as simple as, hey, let's turn up the pitching machine, maybe we're not even going to have guys swing. You know, how do we just make sure that they understand ball or strike? And just to be able to see it, pay attention to it, and try to get something going on in their brain as far as recognizing something that's moving faster. And then, you know, how do I at the same time try to be able to understand the timing? So one drill that I've done before, I just call it a now drill. So what can be super tough coaching as far as you know, just timing. And when you're working on somebody's timing and you try to keep it as simple as possible and they just aren't necessarily getting it, one of the things that I'll do is I'll just have them say out loud now or just any cue. This is basically at what point do they think they need to start swinging. So that's also something that I found to be super, super helpful just in general when coaching and working on hitting.
Absolutely. There's another one that they can put in their stations. And again, like I said, that's what's nice about this, because you have the visual background and the baseball and the hitting aspect, you know, gives coaches drills that they can actually do that, you know, makes sense. You know, the other one is, it sounds like your program also gives them, because you mentioned the numbers, it gives them goals. So if you're 1.9, you know, your goal might be to get to that 4. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, so it would be, yep, exactly. So you want to just try to, for example, you want your response time to be as low as possible. And it gives you benchmarks, and it also does give you a comparison. So like when you get your follow-up PDF, you do get a comparison of you versus, one, your age group, which is more relevant for them. And then two, how do you compare versus the top MLB guys?
Yeah, I like that. That gives it, cause, you know, that kids like, you know, it's a great challenge. Anytime you set goals, it gives them an opportunity to work towards those goals. I really like that. The other part is, you know, from a coach standpoint, because again, like with your background, where does understanding, when you get the home plate, where does it understanding, you got the visual aspect you've trained with, along with now, you know, the thinking aspect. This is the complicated part, because, I've been told before, and I'll give you an example. I've been told before, you know, when you're a parent, you're sitting in the stands and your kid's trying to hit. If you talk to them, you know, they hear your voice right away. That's going to, common sense says it's going to change their concentration to you. And now they can't pick up the baseball while they're trying to hit. But when it comes to a hitter going to the plate and they're thinking, you know, maybe they're thinking it's 2-0 and I'm looking for a fastball. Does that hinder the visual process at all if they're thinking about things, or does it help it because it kind of balances the two and gives them more information?
Yeah, no, I think that's a very good point and question. Yeah, I think just in general, you know, as a hitter, so I would say walking into the box, you know, I think one of the things that I always, that gave me confidence, because, I mean, gosh, hitting in confidence is just so important. It's almost like the entire thing to an extent. And, you know, the more prepared I felt like I was when I stepped into the box, the more confident I always felt. So, you know, I think just from a standpoint of knowing that literally every single part of what I'm doing is that moment when I'm stepping in the box, I'm prepared for it. So, you know, for example, when I played in the College World Series, in 2007 when Mississippi State, when I stepped in the box, I knew that I was prepared for that moment. You know, I ended up doing well, luckily. Obviously, your results always aren't connected to, that preparation process. But I felt like I was prepared. And, you know, as a hitter, I think that in a 2-0 count, you know, you're looking for a fastball. I think it's good to have an idea of what you're looking for and then allow your eyes to do the work to recognize it. So yes, 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 no. You know, as opposed to, you know, just, hey, I'm going to see it and react. Cause I think, you know, anticipation, is a really important thing as far as when you're hitting and when you're in the box. But yeah, I would say, you know, I'd like to see guys really focus in on more of what they're looking for and what they're trying to do, just because, you know, we want your eyes to be able to recognize and help you. So, even let's say you don't really necessarily have an approach and you're just kind of saying, hey, I'm going to see and react. you know, and don't necessarily want somebody in a 2-0 count, even if they can recognize it because they have improved vision skills, to swing at a slider down in the zone or whatever. So I think just from an overall approach, you know, it is definitely important to be having an approach. And then also from a concentration standpoint, you know, you hit on a big thing that I see all the time as far as parents talking to the kids and fans. You know, I just think, I mean, any bit of the attention that you divert from what they're trying to do in the box is, it's not good and it's not going to help them. And, you know, that's just something I've seen. And also, you know, their eyes, if you're just not able to be focused on what you're trying to do, you can't allow your body to do the best that it possibly can.
Absolutely. Well said. All right. What's the next one?
Yep. So the next one is going to be convergence. So that is really going to be tracking the ball as it gets closer to you. So, you know, about halfway to the plate, call it, where it switches from divergence to convergence. So essentially, how are you seeing the ball as it approaches the plate? And this was the area that I've struggled in. So if the ball started out as a strike out of the pitcher's hand, right, the best pitchers, you know, their off-speed pitchers are going to start off as a strike and then become a ball. And that, because when it got closer to me, I didn't track it the same way. So, you know, whether it was an inside fastball and it was 6 inches off the plate and it was running, it was that late movement, I should say, that I didn't really see well. And that's really what hurt me a lot in the box.
Now, is where you stand in the box, does that make a difference? You know, if you're close to the plate, off the plate, does that affect your visual aspect?
Yeah, I mean, you know, not necessarily from the standpoint of exactly what we're doing, but I mean, I think if, you know, you're in the wrong spot, if you're too far away or you're too close and you don't have good strike zone awareness, you know, I think the big thing is that you're consistent with that. And you're not either too close or too far, I guess, if that makes any sense.
So you're not mixing it. One pitch you're close, one pitch you're far, and you're moving constantly. That's not good.
Exactly. I mean, I think it's consistent because, you know, if you can be consistent with where you stand, that allows your eyes to be able to just always perceive the ball, you know, in the spots where it should be perceiving it, for example. And if you're all over the place, even if your eyes are working correctly, it's going to be a little bit confusing.
Sure. And that's a question that, you know, a lot of young coaches ask with young kids, because, you know, say, oh, the guy throws hard, I'll move back. Guy throws slow, I'll move up. But the problem is not, you don't know when he's going to do one or the other. So that's why I asked that. But the other part is, you know, you're talking about the tracking aspect as it gets closer. What do the eyes do or should do as the ball's moving? Is the head turning to get closer to the bat? Are the eyes moving? How does that work? And can that be trained, or is it part of the program?
Sure. Yeah, no, basically your eyes are going to be converging or coming together as that ball gets closer to the plate. And that's definitely something that could be worked on. That was kind of like that visual flexibility that I mentioned earlier, which is really the combination of the divergence and convergence. So essentially, is can your eyes go from seeing the ball a little bit further away to tracking it very close at a high speed with, I guess, for lack of a better way to say it, smooth? Can you do it smoothly? Yeah. And that was where I struggled, because there was not a smooth transition between those two. And that's, you know, that was really what, you know, hurt me.
Sure. And the big example, and I'm sure you remember Pete Rose, remember how he moved his head way straight back, all the way back to the catcher's glove? I would assume he was taking that pitch anyways. He knew early that it wasn't a strike, because if you move your head that way, that's going to move your eyes. That's really not good.
Yeah, you know, I think on pitches you're taking, I mean, out of habit, you don't want to be moving your head too much or as much as you know, obviously that much. But I think on pitches you're taking, maybe it can give you a little bit more information about what the ball is doing. Maybe it makes you feel a little bit more confident, a little bit more comfortable in the plate, or just feeling like you're tracking the ball deeper, I guess, if you will. So I guess not necessarily from a visual standpoint. I think maybe from a psychological standpoint, it can be beneficial. But, you know, certainly, right, as you're tracking your eye, you know, your eyes are going to be really moving more than your head's going to be moving.
Okay, so your eyes are actually doing all the tracking all the way back.
Yeah, so, for example, when I put myself if I'm standing in the batter's box, sorry, I put you on speakerphone real quick, but just to give myself a better understanding so I can explain it a little bit better. So here, sure. You know, I mean, your head's going to be moving a little bit, but I mean, to me, it's, I can just really feel my eyes and how much they're tracking and moving around as the ball gets closer to the plate.
Okay, that makes sense. Now let's get to the next one, because I think it'll help us understand kind of the totality of all this.
So the fifth one is going to be recognition. So essentially, can your eyes recognize a pitch pattern, which it almost sounds similar to divergence, but it's, you know, can you recognize the slider pattern or the curveball pattern quickly, or, you know, based on the trajectory that's coming out, how quickly can you then react to that? So that's really where the recognition comes into play. Is divergence is, you know, more about how, you know, can you see the spin? Can you see the trajectory? And then recognition is, once you see the spin, once you see the trajectory, how quickly can you then make that adjustment?
No, Connor, your swing is going to start at a certain point. So where are we trying to understand all this when it comes to when you're working on the program? This program is trying to get you to pick up the ball as early as possible and make a decision as early as possible. What's the best location, let's just say for hypothetical purposes, where's the best location the ball is going to be by the time you've made your decision and started your swing?
Yeah, sure. That's a good question. I just think across the board, the earlier the better. I don't necessarily have an exact answer on that as far as.
What do you think your best major league hitters are at somewhere? And do you think they're somewhere at right at release or later, you know, halfway? Where do you think they're at?
Yeah, you know, I think probably, I mean, again, this is not based on any data that we have, but this is just more of an observation. I think it's going to be more probably like halfway to the plate where they're, you know, I think they get in the box and it's yes, 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 yes. They see it out of the hand. It's still yes. It's still yes. It's still yes. It's continuing. You know, and it gets halfway to the plate and then it's still really yes. And then they decide to cut it loose. You know, it's interesting. It's an interesting topic because, you know, you watch a major league game, you do see guys who get their foot down quite a bit earlier than other guys that, you know, maybe will hit with more of a leg lift. You know, for example, like, you know, you slow down a video of Jose Bautista, the ball's like at the plate practically right before he would be swinging. But, you know, there's a lot of other guys that hit a little bit of a different way. So, you know, I think, you know, from my experience, I always felt like I decided to really pull the trigger when that ball was a little bit further than halfway from the plate, I think. Mm-hmm. And I don't necessarily know if that's 100%, you know, across the board what everybody does, but I think that was the way that I always felt like my timing was. I, you know, when I felt like I was ready too early, I got locked up a little bit. So that was just kind of a personal preference.
No, but what I like about the program is if the players and the young players are getting better and better at it by working at it, you know, the sooner they recognize it, obviously that's going to, you know, make huge differences. Because what we see a lot in young players, and not just in hitting, but even in playing catch, you know, take playing catch as an example. Last minute, they'll reach out to get the ball. The coaches say, we'll move to the ball. Well, I got to believe that, you know, the reason they're not moving to the ball is because they didn't identify the ball at release not early enough. And when the ball started coming towards them, they picked it up so late that it was there already. And now they couldn't move their feet. They had to just reach out and grab it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I think the earlier that you can see the ball, track the ball, and be able to predict or make the best, you know, conjecture, I guess, if you will, as to where that ball is going to go, the better you're going to be prepared to have success, whether you're playing defense, whether you're in the box. It just, you, when you have more time, you know, I think that's just such one of the challenges, of baseball is just there's a very limited, even if you're playing outfield and the guy hits the ball in the gap, that's still really not a lot of time from the distance that you've got to cover. So I feel like every millisecond of time that you can put on your side is just a huge advantage.
Which one's harder, outfield, infield, when picking up a ball? The one that has more time, the outfielder, to identify it, or the infielder?
I guess it depends on their eye skills.
That's a good question. Actually, it's a good question you brought up right there. let's talk about taking a kid who you've just evaluated the player, okay? And you've gone through, you know, his analysis of the six skills. Now you take that player and you put him in the infield at short. And then you also, the next inning, you put him in the outfield. Where is he going to be better at skill-wise by picking up the ball?
Sure, yeah. I mean, and you know, I think if you have a player that has a lower divergence score, he won't pick the ball up as well in the outfield. Okay. If you have an infielder and he has a lower convergence score, he's not going to see the ball. You know, divergence still helps in the infield, but he won't see the ball as well as a player with a higher convergence score. So, you know, I think, and that's a lot of what we're seeing as far as, you know, better players who are playing in the infield do have pretty good convergence scores, but the outfielders is really where the big difference is. So, you know, if you know, you know, let's say you put a guy through a test and you know that he's got really high divergence, chances are he's going to be able to pick that ball up better from the outfield, you know, and vice versa. With higher convergence, he should be able to pick that ball up better or in the infield, or at least track it all the way to the glove, I should say. I mean, you know, because he'll be able to pick the ball up off of the bat, but really tracking that ball, especially on those hard hit balls, you know, 2-3 hoppers, just being able to track it all the way to the glove quickly and fluidly and smoothly.
Well, that's you know, just goes to show how important your program is, because, you know, I can tell you this, there's a lot of young coaches, you know, and I'm talking about at this particular time, kids 14 and under, possibly, you know, 13, 12, 11. You know, sometimes you take a kid and you put him, you know, he's pretty good in the infield, and then all of a sudden you put him in the outfield, and he's not very good. Not because he's not a good athlete or he doesn't know what to do. It's just that, like you just said, he may be lower on some scores. And for coaches to understand that would help them sometimes to where they're going to put their players position-wise.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I think it just gives a coach so much more information to put the guys, you know, in the right spots to succeed the best. And, you know, let's say that they may not be as great in one area, just get them training throughout the season. And, you know, as time goes on, those scores are going to improve and, you know, they're going to be able to play at more places on the diamond. But I think you're right, because it does connect the dots as far as, like, you know, you take a kid in the infield and you put him in the outfield and everything lines up as far as athletically, he should be able to do this. We've gone over the fundamentals and he just might not be able to see the ball.
Exactly. So that's why, you know, we talk about statistics and analytics and all this. Well, you know, this is part of that. Because, you know, if you're putting players in the wrong positions according to vision, that could be a problem also. Now, here's a question I'd like to ask you, Connor, about, you know, when I played, you know, I'm thinking, when you're on defense, where should a player be looking? At home plate? Or should they be tracking the ball from the hand to home plate of the pitcher?
I always looked at home. Yeah, I always looked at home plate. I played corner infield. So what I tried to do is I tried to just basically see where the barrel – I call it a barrel flash. I don't know if that's a correct mm-hmm. terminology, but that's just the way that it looked, where the barrel was kind of flashing out. And what I always looked for was basically for them to hit the ball at me, where they need to make contact. If it's a right-handed hitter, you know, it's going to be more out front. So I would look generally right in that area where it was going to be a little bit further out in front of the plate. And then what I would look for was basically at contact, could I see, you know, more closer to the end of the bat? And if I did, that really kind of keyed to me that it was more of a round, you know, he's getting around the ball and that ball is coming at me and I better be ready quick. And same thing over at first base. You know, I remember playing in a big league spring training game and I had the luxury of holding on a runner when Eric Hosmer was hitting. So that was an exhilarating experience, but
yeah, I'll bet.
Yeah. So he actually, it was funny. He did ground out to me. It wasn't anything crazy. It was like, you know, just, it was like chopper, but I mean, the amount of spin that was on the ball was just insane. You know, just because I could hear it the whole way to the base, just, it was totally different. But yeah, I mean, I would always try to look right in the area where that player as an infielder had to make contact with the ball to really just try to be able to pick it up as quickly as possible.
You know, and that's another advantage when it comes to the visual aspect on defense. And that's the reason I bring that up, because now you can not only can you see where the pitch is at, but you can anticipate and maybe get a better jump. I mean, you know, it's crazy. I mean, we're talking about vision, but yet, even as I travel the world and I'm on social media, I just don't see enough concentration on the visual aspect. And we'll talk about that as we close the show, because I think that could be an area where, you know, maybe some coaches just, you know, don't understand it. So they're a little scared to go, you know, to start training that aspect of it. Let's finish it up with, because I think you had the closing one, number six, right?
Yes. Yeah. So that's going to be your tracking. So basically how quickly do your eyes respond, right? So let's say he makes contact. I'm at third base. How quickly are my eyes actually going to respond to that ball that is moving? So that's going to be really closely tied to your reaction speed. Same thing, you know, when you're hitting, as far as just being able to, how quickly, all right, I've recognized it. I've seen the spin. I've seen the trajectory. I've recognized the pitch type. You know, all that thing, all those are very connected with, and all right, at what point are my eyes going to actually pick the moving ball up? So You know, that's basically what we test there as far as tracking. And, you know, the best players that we see, their tracking is incredibly fast. So, you know, after going through the test, and it's mind-boggling how quickly they can actually execute this. So it's pretty cool.
So now you're seeing actually the ball come off the bat and where it's going on the field?
Yes. So it's basically just how quickly are your eyes going to track to that moving object.
Mm-hmm. You know, and what I like about that too is because, again, as a coach, you know, again, it's a philosophy, but I believe in it. You know, I believe, you know, when you hit the ball, I don't care what age you are, you got to start young and do it right. You've got to pick up the ball and understand where the ball went. Is it a ground ball in the infield? Is it a line drive past the infield? Because then that determines, you know, your running path. So this visual aspect of the game is important.
Yes. No, absolutely. I totally agree. 100%.
All right. Super. So now here's the, you know, people are going to ask this question, so I might as well bring it up because I don't see as much of an importance of it maybe as everybody else does. But, you know, the old, you know, do you see the ball hit the bat or do you not see the ball hit the bat? Does it really matter? Maybe address that.
Yeah, you know, I want to say there was, I can't remember the study, but maybe it was even just a couple of years ago. It was in 2016 they did a study where, you know, they found that you actually couldn't see the ball directly make contact with the bat during maybe a game at a ball moving at high speed. So we... With what we do, we don't necessarily dive too much into that, but, you know, at least just, I mean, I guess that does make sense as far as in an actual game, as far as what's actually happening. And again, we don't, this is just my opinion. This is not necessarily what we have, as far as that goes. But, you know, I think as far as, you know, when you're working on the mechanics and you're working on tracking the ball and you're working on just practicing, just in general, for a lot of different reasons I could dive into as far as wanting to maintain, you know, your spine angle, keeping your bat on plane, keeping your bat path, all of those things is extremely important to me to track the ball and watch it almost to the point where you feel like you can see it hit the bat, even if it is a slower speed. And even if you can't necessarily do it in the game, because there's so many other things that are tied closely to that, that I think it's just a really beneficial thing to do.
Okay, super. And also I did want to ask you, here's a, you know, your body movements, and I may have mentioned it and you may have addressed it a little bit, but your body movements, when it comes to your stride, when it comes to the rotation, everything that happens in the swing, extremely critical because it affects your vision. Yes.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, the more that your head's going to be moving around, in, you know, especially the more that your head's going to bounce around, I should say, especially kind of going up and down. I just think it makes it just much harder to track the ball. Much harder to track the ball. So, I mean, the more quiet that you can keep your head throughout your swing, I just think the better. It's just as far as a rule of thumb. It allows your eyes to work the best that they possibly can.
Connor, how come, let's talk, you know, you see out there, you know, the game's evolving, obviously. The last 10 years, a lot more technology, a lot more research, science. You know, we've had research and science in the past, too, a lot on pitching, you know, when Tom House started 25, 30, 40 years ago. When it comes to pitching aspect, but you know, why is it we're still emphasizing a lot about movement patterns, you know, about ground force. I get all that, you know, but yet you don't hear a lot about the vision. Now there are people out there that are talking vision, that are training, that there's more research going on. I get, but you know what, to me, it should be the number one thing that you do out of everything and any skill that you're working on. It should be, this should be by far number one and nothing else even can top it. Why do you think, you know, maybe your opinion, why do you think we haven't really emphasized this enough?
Yeah, you know what, that's a really, I agree with you, and that's a really great point. You know, I think for me personally, I thought it was your visual acuity, and that was basically it. I thought it was, you know, you went to the eye doctor, and that was pretty much the end of the story. And if you could see with 20/20 corrected lenses, or if you had 20/15, you were just blessed, you know, by God, and you know, you could see the ball a little bit better. And I thought that was really it until I got into this and, you know, taking the test and testing players and just having just the data line up with, you know, basically what they struggle with. And, you know, I don't know if it's necessarily a lack of awareness like it was for me, but I would attribute a lot of it to the fact that I think people just don't necessarily know, including myself up until a short time ago, how much you can actually improve your visual skills and your visual system and how much that can actually improve your game. You know, and weightlifting and ground force and all those things, all that stuff is great, but you know, you get 80% of your sensory information from your eyes. And I mean, you know, I never, and I'm a big advocate for all those things too. So I'm not necessarily saying you don't need to lift weights or anything like that. I mean, I'm a huge advocate for all of those things. But you just, you never step into the box and try to, you know, sniff to see where the pitch is going to be at. Right. I mean, you gotta be able to see, where that ball is at. You've got to be able to see things, to be able to perform. You just have to. And you know, it was just kind of crazy getting into it. That I just wasn't, nobody ever really made me that aware of it, that it really existed and that you could do it.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, and I think you're right. I think it's an unknown. I remember the late, Ken Revis, a great friend, great guy, you know, sports psychologist, always said, you know, there wasn't any sports psychiatrist when it came, you know, to professional baseball, you know, in the 70s. Now every team's got them. You know, those days, they thought you were crazy. You know, what are you doing working on that? You don't need to work on a mental game, on the brain. But yet, you know, I think that's the same thing with the visual aspect. We all assumed, you know, hey, if you got great vision, you'll pick up the ball and let's work on the skills. What's in it now? You know, what I like about your program, everything I've read and seen and talked about, what I really like about it, it's very simple. You guys are doing the work. You know, obviously the players working on the program on the iPad, and the coaches just have to implement it. You know, they can implement some drills. That's what I really like about it. And now, what do you see for your, you know, for your guy, your group, or any anybody else? Where do you see us going from a visual standpoint? What else are you guys researching to maybe make it even better?
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, we're continuing to develop, and we're working on a new product from just a UX experience and kind of updating those things. The core product itself is going to be the same, but that's going to be early summer. And, you know, some of the things that we're trying to continue to work on and really just analyze the data and see, you know, what are the correlations that we can draw from, you know, how quickly do players move up in organizations based on their visual scores, or, you know, how quickly can they, you know, advance through a system, for example, and just trying to take all the data that we have and really trying to figure out, you know, as many correlations across those six things that the data tells us. Not necessarily trying to find an answer and then seeing if the data supports it, but really diving into the data and basically trying to figure out everything that we possibly can. And you know, just trying to also, from a user experience standpoint, how do we make this as fun as possible for the kids? How do we make this engaging? How do we get this to be something that everybody loves to do, you know, as a part of their daily regimen?
Well, you got one step forward, and I can tell you this, and I think you know this, it's like a game on an iPad, and so you got one advantage. Kids love that nowadays, so you won't have to convince them about that.
Absolutely. You know, and it's funny, too, one of the things I talked to some of the younger kids about, and I guess coaches can either choose to share this or withhold it, but it will help you with your video games. So the kids, if you usually tell them that, for the kids that do like video games, they usually jump for joy on that one.
Absolutely. Now, the end of the show, here's what we love to do, Connor. You know, this topic or any other topic, you know, coaches and players and parents, we could talk about this for hours. But during our talk, you know, I'm going to miss things. I'm going to miss a question that was really supposed to be asked. You know, I try to do my best in that field to understand, you know, what coaches are thinking, what players are thinking, parents and all that. What's something that you really wanted to discuss and want parents and players and coaches around the world to know, last minute advice or anything that we might have missed that you want to discuss? This is your time. You got about a minute and a half, and we'll close it off.
Okay. Got it. Awesome. Yeah. You know, I really feel like I've been able to share a lot of the ways that vision is able to help athletes and especially baseball players over the course of the show. So thank you for, you know, having me, and thank you for asking those questions. But for parents, you know, I think it's definitely something to just keep at the forefront of your mind, and, you know, just understand how important it is. You know, and you look to so many things, and, you know, I'm a hitting instructor, and I have many, many, many wonderful clients who come to me, and now I have them do vision training as a part of what I do. But also from the standpoint of, you know, really looking at your vision as one of the things that's really, really important. Just like hitting lessons, or just like fielding lessons, or just like continuing to make sure they practice and work on their fundamentals, because it really should be something that you work on a consistent, regular basis. And just like you want your body to be in the best shape that you possibly can, you want your eyes to be in the best shape that they possibly can to perform at the top of your level.
All right, folks, you heard it from an expert in the field. They have been researching this for a lot of years. They've got a great program. Check them out on visualedge.com. You can see everything they do there. Also, obviously, you can register the, you know, with the program, for the program, use the program for all your players. I would highly recommend it. I can't see why you know, every player, every team would not begin using this program all year round. And also check them out on Visual Edge. And remember, Visual is V-I-Z-U-A-L, Edge on Twitter. You got a lot of tips there. Connor's on there. They're all on there. They're all giving a lot of great information. So follow them. Don't forget, hey, Connor, want to thank you. I can't thank you enough for being on the show. I know we went a little longer than you expected, but that was some, I'll tell you what, some great, great, great information. Love the show. Great job.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you having me, and I enjoyed every single minute.
All right, folks, that was Connor. Now, remember, Connor Powers with Visual Edge. Do us a favor before, or once you finish the show, go to iTunes or Stitcher. You know, give us a rating. That really helps us. If you like the show and you give us a 5-star rating, it just gets the show out to more people, and it really helps us. It takes about a minute to do it, so we'd really appreciate it. Spread the word throughout social media. I want to thank Brian Crock, our producer from the Lineup Media Group. He does a great job putting this show together for you. And also want to thank our special guest, Connor Powers from Visual Edge. I want to thank all our listeners for being on the show. Don't forget to email me at petercaliendo18t. Love to get your emails, all your questions. I will answer them right away. Want to wish you a great coaching day. I'm your host, Pete Caliendo. This is Baseball Outside the Box from Vancouver, Canada. We'll see you on the next show.
This has been Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Listen online at baseballoutsidethebox.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and all major podcast outlets. Join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter. Get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm. This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.